I'm back from hiatus. Here's the rundown of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. Number one, 25 years of Marxist indoctrination in schools has fomented rabid anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism on college campuses. It is unacceptable. Number two, the Boy Scouts of America changing their name after 114 years. It's over. And number three, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper transforms from alpha male to beta male in one unnecessary apology.
This is the Cigar Dave Show with the General.
Great to be back front and center from Humidor 1A Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. It is your global five-star General Alpha Male in Chief, front and center. As always, I extend to you my long-ash greetings and salutations. A long-ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the Marxists. Screw those that are anti-American, anti-Semitic. You are not wanted in this nation, as we are proud Americans, as always. Hashtag Trump 2024, hashtag MAGA, hashtag Save America, hashtag Screw Biden, and hashtag Screw the Marxist Dems. The Cigar Dave Show is presented by Davidoff of Geneva and their Camacho portfolio of cigars, including the Camacho Triple Maduro. With a four-country blend of all Maduro tobaccos, Camacho Triple Maduro delivers an explosion of bold, earthy flavors, including cedar, pepper, and subtle sweetness. The Camacho Triple Maduro, available at DavidoffGeneva.com. And by Gurkha, the world's finest cigars, including the Gurkha Pure Evil, blended for cigar connoisseurs, able to handle a full-flavored cigar loaded with strength, power, and richness. Do not let the name fool you. Gurkha Pure Evil is pure cigar pleasure. Visit GurkhaCigars.com. What we have seen over the last 3 weeks on college campuses is an absolute abomination. What we have seen with the youth, the ignorant youth of this nation, is a culmination of 25 to 30 years of Marxist indoctrination in our classrooms, not only of college campuses, colleges and universities, but also high school and in grade school. And I have an example of young kids that are being transformed into Marxist youth, into anti-Semitic youth, into anti-American youth. And I have been talking about this on the Cigar Dave Show for years now. We have seen an uptick in Marxist doctrine in this country. We have immigrants, illegal aliens that are coming to this country who were welcomed into this nation. Many who were refugees from Kenya, from Somalia, from other countries. And now, of course, we've seen the absolute explosion of illegal aliens, and that's what they are. Let's not call them migrants. That's a bullshit, fabricated PC term, and we're not PC on this show. Illegal aliens that are running right through our border at the invitation of not only Joe Biden, but Barack Obama. Let us be very, very clear. Joe Biden is a brain-dead puppet. Joe Biden can't tell you the difference between a Ritz cracker and a Ritz Carlton. Joe Biden isn't running anything. This is all being run by Barack Obama, Shadow President, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor. They are running the show. Joe Biden is just a bystander. That's it. This is the third term of the Marxist Obama regime. This is what he's always wanted. He wanted to destroy this country. He wanted to overwhelm it with illegal aliens that essentially are deadbeats, that come to the country with nothing, that add nothing, that want a handout, that want welfare from the time they cross the Rio Grande. They want everything handed to them. And that is exactly what Obama wants. He wants to create a huge, unstoppable Democrat electorate. That's it. That's what it's all about. Period. He does not want a Republican or any other party to win an election except the Marxist Radical Democrats. And there will be a small 1% that will live high off the hog. Rules won't apply to them. However, the middle class will be destroyed. We will have a permanent welfare state. And everything he talked about, destroying America, destroying the fabric of our country, destroying the Judeo-Christian values upon which this country was founded, is exactly what he wants to eradicate. Why are we seeing an explosion of Muslims coming in from countries, many of which hate America? They want to destroy America. Most of the Muslims coming in have zero interest. And the radical Muslims, and you see it, look at the Somali refugees. They were refugees. Obama brought them all in. They were eating sand of the desert. They were immigrants like Ilhan Omar, that could have gone to other countries, could have gone to England, could have gone to other countries, but no, wanted to come to the United States. And what does she do as soon as she arrives? Starts criticizing this nation as a colonizer, as an oppressor. Are you kidding me? The country that basically welcomed her and her family, despite the fact that she and her family hate America, hate American values. Make no mistake, she's anti-Semitic and she's anti-American, period. This country welcomed her family, set them up in Minnesota, put them on welfare, gave them public assistance. She was educated at the taxpayer expense, becomes a congresswoman, and now preaches American hate, American colonialism, saying that we're evil, we're the oppressors. And her daughter just was arrested, I think, a week or two ago on the NYU campus. And she's proud that her daughter was arrested, spewing anti-Semitic and anti-American statements. And make no mistake, there is a huge difference between peaceful protesting and threats and violence. And what we have witnessed the last few weeks, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Americanism, unacceptable. And this has begun at the college and the school level. When you see kids that are interviewed saying, well, we're doing everything that we were taught to do in school, protest, be violent, this is what they are teaching. So all these, you look at the Ivy League schools, $70,000, $80,000 plus a year. What education are those kids getting? And many of these kids are coming from well-to-do homes. Families who sent their kids to $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year grade schools and prep schools, private schools. There's no difference between what we are seeing, the indoctrination, the brainwashing of students with anti-Semitism, being anti-Israel, anti-America, and the climate change or climate communism hoax. You see little kids coming back from school that cry. They go back to their parents crying. Our teachers said we're going to die in 5 years if we don't change and stop our carbon footprint. The amount of nonsense being spewed to scare kids, to convert and indoctrinate them into a nation of Marxist youth. I mean, we essentially are paying the piper now. The Marxist indoctrination chickens have come home to roost. And you look at these kids. Most of them couldn't identify Israel on a map. Most of them couldn't tell you the history, forget 75 years ago or 5,000 years ago of Israel. They couldn't tell you history a year ago because they don't teach history at schools. They teach junk history, like junk science. It is warped. It is jaded. So you get a crop of kids now coming out that hate America, hate Israel, the only democracy, by the way, in the Middle East, and they hate Jews. Now, I can tell you, speaking as a Jew, a proud Jew, I should say, whose grandmother, my grandmother, had, I think, four sisters murdered in the Holocaust. So I can tell you that when the phrase never again comes to mind, you damn better believe that I not only spew it, but I live it and I believe in it. And when I see these kids today saying gas the Jews and kill the Jews and put the Jews in the gas chambers, it is almost impossible to believe that this is what's taking place in the 21st century in the United States of America. There are 15 million Jews in the world. Probably I'm one of them. Excuse me. There are 15 million. Let me grab a little swig of my espresso here. There are 15 million Jews in the world. There are what, 1.4 billion Muslims? Are you telling me that the Muslim world, these Marxists, are worried about 15 million people in this world? That they believe that there are 15 million Jews that are the source of all evil, that control everything? What an absolute joke. Yet they spew it. And I've told many of my Christian friends who are mortified. They've called me saying, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Cannot believe what I'm witnessing. And many of them have been to Israel. And they say, I went to Israel. There are Arabs, 2 million Arabs in the country. And we're talking about a country of what? Israel's what, 8, 11 million people? I think 8 million people. We're not talking, I think it's the size of land area of New Jersey. But yet it creates so much foment by these radical Muslims, by ignorant, uneducated youth, and even these professors that speak of which nothing they know anything about. And yet they're spewing this nonsense, and these college presidents and university presidents allow this nonsense. Now, I ask you this. Let us say, for example, a group of people went on the New York University campus, or Harvard, or Yale, or Stanford, or pick any university in this country, and started demonstrating against blacks and gays, or Asians, or any other minority group, how quickly do you think the university administration would shut down those protests? Especially if people in the group were shouting, kill blacks, kill gays, kill lesbians, put trans and queers in the gas chamber. Let's noose all blacks. How quickly do you think those protests would be shut down? They would be shut down in a nanosecond. But when it comes to Jews and anti-Semitism, not a damn word. It is repulsive. It is vile. It is unacceptable. I have no problem with people protesting. Listen, if you want to protest against homosexuality, I don't have a problem with it if it's peaceful. But the second you cross over to say, kill homosexuals, kill gays, or kill any other group, or murder, or torture, sorry, that's not a peaceful protest anymore. Those are threats. Shut it down. End of discussion. There is no discussion about it. The police are called. You disperse them, you shut it down. But instead, the university, they just allowed things to foment, to continue going on. And we're seeing that everywhere now. And let me give you a perfect example of where we're seeing this. And you look at there seems to be a pattern. If you look at interviews of people, these are younger kids. Many of them, when I say younger, they're in between, primarily 18 into their mid-20s, some late-20s. But many of them ignorant, even though they are college educated, they are truly uneducated. They've believed all the bullshit and the pablum that has been spewed to them while they are in college and high school and even grade school. And when you ask them questions about, well, what are you protesting about? What exactly is your problem? What is the problem with what took place? Israel defending itself? They can't give you an answer. And when they say, when you show them, these are the same people that say, oh, we have to believe women, that women have rights, me too. Yet, when these scumbag Gazans and Palestinians, these radical Muslims, when they raped, tortured, beheaded women, ripped babies out of women's wombs on October 7th in the attack on Israel, they're speechless. Oh, no, no, that's perfectly acceptable. Because we are, those people were just, were basically a resistance. I'm sorry. That doesn't hold muster in any way, shape, or form. But there's a, if you look at them, they have the same look. First of all, most of them are dogs, especially the women. They all are wearing their masks. They're so proud of protesting, they hide their face. They don't show their face. They wear the keffiyeh. And when you ask them, well, what is the keffiyeh? What does that represent? They don't even know. They don't know. When you say, do you realize that the Israelites have been in that land for 5,000 years? They're clueless. They have no idea. When you tell them that there were no such thing as Palestinians until 1964, when Yasser Arafat created the term. They were Egyptians, they were Jordanian Arabs. And the Arab countries, 1948, told them all to leave. They said, leave and you can come back when we defeat Israel, the new state of Israel. Well, Israel won. Israel was attacked multiple times. 48, 56, 67, 73. And finally, Egypt, Jordan, now you've got the UAE, Saudi Arabia. They're all going to, they all realize that war against Israel has gotten them nothing. That's why Saudi Arabia absolutely wants to establish relations with Israel. UAE did it. Bahrain did it. Egypt did it. Jordan, they're all recognizing financial benefit from it. But yet you have these people that have no clue what they're talking about. They have no perception of history. They don't understand even what they're protesting. When you ask them, well, what are you protesting? They have no clue. They have no idea. But this rabid anti-Semitism we're seeing, coupled with anti-Americanism, is alarming. And I've talked to many of my non-Jewish friends, and they've all said the same thing. They said, you know, my fear is this thing isn't going to stop here. This is going to continue. It's going to be anti-American, anti-Christian. And my answer is, you're damn right. And all you need to do is study history. Go back and search, do a internet search for 7th and 8th century Muslim conquests, which culminated in Muslim rule in Asia, Africa, and Europe. And what are we seeing today in Europe? What are we seeing today in many areas and parts of the United States? We are seeing extremist radical Muslims that are coming into Europe, that have come into Europe. Crime is huge. Their treatment of women is atrocious. They are not working in England. I believe 65% or 67% of men, Muslim men, are on welfare. Same thing with women. I think it's about the same, 62 or 65%. So they're coming in. They essentially are benefiting from the goodness of the host country in which they're flocking to. And they're building up numbers. They start with a very small number. Then they build a 1%. They procreate like crazy. And the next thing you know, they now in different pockets, different municipalities and cities, they are now the majority. And in England, they just had radical Muslims elected as mayors, city councilmen. And they are very clear what their statement is and what they want to do. They want to transform England, Europe, North America, the United States, the world, to radical Muslim extremism, Sharia law. I mean, we hear these radicals saying that they want Sharia in the White House. They want to see Palestinian flags raised, and we're seeing it on campuses. We're seeing American flags being desecrated, Palestinian flags being put up. A George Washington monument in New York draped with a Palestinian flag and desecrated. If you think this is about anti-Semitism, you better think again. This is about anti-Americanism. This is about eradicating Judeo-Christian values. When your grandparents came and my grandparents immigrated legally to this country, and my mother immigrated legally to this country, had to wait 5 years just to step foot in the United States from Canada, or she would have been thrown out, unlike today. Our grandparents, our parents, our families that immigrated to this country, became citizens, wanted to participate in the American dream. They valued American idealism. They valued Judeo-Christian values. And what's happened the last 30, 40 years? Judeo-Christian values have been eradicated. I mean, when you see Obama and Hillary Clinton going after Christians saying, oh, they hold on to their guns and their Bibles as if that's something wrong, maybe we should have the Ten Commandments in every classroom in this country. And that doesn't mean you have to be religious, but there's some that are on there that are probably, you don't even have to be religious to follow that. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't murder. I mean, is that so radical? Put the Ten Commandments up there, but yet we have people say, oh, we can't have that. We can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance. And now we're seeing that in various classrooms, you can't even sell Halloween. Oh, that could offend our Muslim friends, our Muslim students. I'm sorry, but when you come to this country, a Judeo-Christian country, you either accept the norms of this country, and if you don't, then leave. There are many Jews that are kosher that don't eat pork, don't eat ham, don't eat shellfish. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden every restaurant should accommodate and say, nope, because we have a small percentage of people that may be kosher, we're not going to serve that. I'm not offended. I'm not kosher, but I'm not offended. But I have many friends that are kosher. They don't tell me, hey, listen, when you go out, no, you can't order this or you can't order that. But yet, now we're seeing many Muslims saying, oh, no, we shouldn't serve pork in schools. We shouldn't serve this in schools because it could offend Muslim students. And then you have CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, which was an unindicted co-conspirator of 9/11, funded by Qatar, another beauty country. And yet we do nothing with Qatar. We ought to nip that in the bud. They're one of the biggest, in addition to Iran, purveyors of terrorism in the world and enablers of terrorism and Hamas and of Hezbollah. And yet, you've got CARE that all of a sudden somebody says something, oh, Islamophobia, Islamophobia, Islamophobia. And when somebody calls out, if you notice, any political official, they say anti-Semitism must stop. And also Islamophobia. I'm sorry, there is no Islamophobia in this country. Have you seen protests on college campuses where there have been rampant? Have you seen Jews and Christians demonstrating and saying death to Muslims, hang Muslims, kill Muslims? Not one. Not one, because it doesn't exist. But yet, we are now having to accommodate Muslims all over this country. You look in Minneapolis now, the call to prayer. They got a city exemption where now one of the mosques can broadcast like you're in Riyadh. Sorry, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. You're free to practice your religion, but we're not going to change our laws where all of a sudden you can blare the call to prayer umpteen times a day. We saw it with taxi drivers in Minneapolis. Many of them are Somali Muslim refugees, immigrants, refugees, whatever you want to call it. They sued so that they could actually stop in the middle of the day and do their prayers. Listen, you want a job? The terms are you work these hours. If you want to pray, then get another job. Work for yourself. Do something else. But to stop umpteen times a day, I'm sorry, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. So this nonsense about Islamophobia is bullshit. Doesn't exist. But anti-Semitism, rampant. Anti-Americanism, rampant. And it starts not just in the schools, but it starts at young ages, even with parents. And I'm going to play an example for you. There was a Girl Scout troop 149 in St. Louis County, Missouri. they decided to raise money for a Palestinian relief fund. The troop leader, co-troop leader, is a woman named Nawal Abu Hamdeh. Muslim. Fine, no problem. Muslim girls can certainly be part of Girl Scouts, brownies, whatever. No issue. But the troop started in January of this year selling, making and selling beaded bracelets. 2 days later, the troop leader, Abu Hamdeh, received an email from the Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri saying they had to stop the fundraising campaign and take down the social media post. If not, they wrote, the Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri and the Girl Scouts of the United States would engage legal counsel to remedy the situation and protect the intellectual property and other rights of the Girl Scouts. Well, they refused. And so consequently, the Girl Scouts basically revoked their charter. So now they call themselves Troop 149. Now, this is a troop that is now these girls that are many cases 5 years old, 4 years old, 6 years, very young. And there was something that made its way on X, a video that made its way that shocked me. And this is a perfect example of young children being indoctrinated with a cheer, with basically a chant. And I'm going to play this for you. And the chant essentially was, my Sido is older than yours. Now, Sido is Arabic for grandfather. But take a listen to exact, and this is, you're seeing a one of the leaders who's probably in her mid-40s, late-40s, kneeling on the ground with a bullhorn, with about a 4 or 5-year-old kid telling them exactly what to say. And you've got the entire troop, the entire former Girl Scout troop, repeating this. And this is the no different than Hitler Youth. Take a listen.
My Sido's older than you.
You're teaching kids free, free Palestine. I mean, you're teaching these 4, 5, 6-year-old impressionable kids. I mean, this is no different than Hitler Youth. Now what you have is radical, extremist, Muslim youth. And this is pervasive across this country now. The reality is Israel did not start the war, but Israel will finish it. Israel wanted to live in peace. They have since the time they were founded. However, when you have the Palestinians who have had multiple chances, Yasser Arafat had multiple chances to have peace, two-state solution, rejected every one of them. Why? Because they don't want peace. From the river to the sea, they want all of Israel. Israel pulled out of Gaza, the Gaza Strip, 20 years ago, said it's all yours. And they left all the infrastructure in place. They left the hospitals. They left the power plants. They left everything in place. And what did Hamas do when they were elected? They screwed it all up. Destroyed it. And when you have 75-80% of Palestinians and Gazans in favor of what the attack on October 7th, and remember, wasn't that long ago, September 11th, 2001, we saw a video of all these Palestinians and Gazans jumping up and down, screaming, celebrating at the attack on America. Vile. They don't want peace. They're more than happy to martyr themselves. And Golda Meir said it best. I believe she said, the day we'll have peace is when the Palestinians and Arabs value life more than they do death. That sums it up. So Israel is going to finish the job. And when I tell people, many people say, oh, but they use restraint. If Canada attacked Detroit or Buffalo or Seattle, or if Mexico started lobbing rockets into San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, or the Bahamas started lobbing rockets into Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Palm Beach, what the hell do you think the United States would do? Do you think we just fire back and say, okay, well, we're not going to go finish the job. We're just going to, we'll just fire back just in equal proportion. No, we would go and destroy the country. Civilian casualties be damned. In fact, Israel has taken painstaking steps to avoid civilian casualties. Don't believe all the bullshit numbers. In fact, the UN even said the numbers were all bullshit. The numbers, the death toll was bullshit. They were overstated by at least 50%. When we see the anti-Americanism, the anti-American hate, the radical Islamists who have come to this country now and want to create a caliphate here in the United States, Israel's an excuse. Jews are an excuse. There's 15 million Jews in the world. That's an excuse. They want a 7th century conquest. They want Islam spread. And that's why in Kuwait, the Kuwaiti emir just came out last week, suspended Congress for 4 years, saying that members of Congress who are part of the Muslim Brotherhood are trying to use our democracy against us to bring down the government and bring in radical extremist Islam. The UAE has seen it. Saudi Arabia has seen it. Other countries. Why is it, do you think, that Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, all the Arab countries, none of them want any of the Gazans or the Palestinians? Why? Because they don't add anything to the country. Instead, they foment hatred. They foment division. They foment violence. They foment crime. All you need to do is look at Europe and look at pockets of the United States. Same thing. But these college university presidents and administrators that have rolled over to their demands are beyond weak. They are beyond pathetic. Simple. Protest peacefully. But when you start to occupy with tents, sorry, this is not a sleeping area, not a daycare. And when you start promoting violence against a group, whether it's Jews, Americans, blacks, Asians, Hispanics, unacceptable. Shut it down. But instead, the university said, oh, no, we can't do that. How quickly do you think they would immediately call for the police to shut down violent protests if people said, kill all Muslims, hang all Muslims, death to Muslims, put all Muslims in the gas chamber? How quickly do you think the administrators would call the police and shut down those violent and radical protests? In a millisecond. The same thing should have been done for the anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism that has been spewed on American college campuses the last umpteen weeks, and they haven't. It is pathetic. But let's call a spade a spade. Radical Islam wants a 7th, 8th century conquest. They've worked on Europe, and now they're coming for the United States. Make no mistake. Take a look at the new Minnesota state flag. Looks exactly like a Somali flag. No difference. They will destroy America from within. A Judeo-Christian nation will be toppled by a 21st century radical Islamic caliphate and conquest. Have to put an end to it. Enough's enough. Call it what it is. Shut down immigration. Shut down the border. Do not allow any people in this country that preach hate towards Americans or anti-American sentiment or anti-Semitism sentiment. Shut it down. And if you're a student here violently protesting, calling for threatening certain populations in this country on college campuses, and you're a guest, you're on a student visa, kick them the hell out. You are here as a guest. You pull this nonsense, get the hell out. End of discussion. The International Cigar Litation Ceremony is next. Maduro cigar wrappers are known for their unique complexity of flavor that include richness, spiciness, and subtle notes of sweetness. Now, if you take a Maduro wrapper and make an entire cigar of Maduro wrapper and Maduro binder, Maduro filler, what do you get? Camacho Triple Maduro, a Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, a Mexican Corojo Maduro binder, and then Maduro fillers from Honduras, the Dominican Republic, and Brazil. You get a cigar that is dark, rich, full-on flavor, medium to full-bodied, with notes of cedar, roasted nuts, some pepper, and a subtle sweetness. The Camacho Triple Maduro, available at DavidoffGeneva.com.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, I have just pulled out a cigar that was launched last year, around the fourth quarter. It is the, well, I'd say new because it is still relatively new. It is the Gurkha Ghost Connecticut, added to the Gurkha Ghost lineup, and the Gurkha Ghost Connecticut, as the name implies, has a Connecticut wrapper, Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, Mexican-grown binder, fillers from Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, and the United States of America. It is manufactured at PDR Cigars in the Dominican Republic. Three sizes. The Gurkha Ghost Connecticut Shadow, a Robusto, 5 inches in length with a 52 ring gauge or 52/64 7-inch. Suggested retail $8. The Gurkha Ghost Connecticut Asura, the Toro, which I have in my hand, a 6x54 Toro. And the Gurkha Ghost Connecticut Exorcist, a Magnum, 6x60. Suggested retail $10.50. It's going to be on the medium-bodied side. Nice flavor complexion. Reasonably priced. Can't go wrong. I'm looking at it in my hand. Got a nice band with the Gurkha Crest Gurkha logo. Looking good. Can't wait to get my palate on this beautiful-looking stick.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Well, I have in my hot little hand a self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready for action.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
From the Cigar Dave Arty Laboratories, I have got the 5-star. Nice handy lighter, not overly big, fits in the pocket easily, translucent tank, so I see that I'm about 60% filled with fine quality butane, 5 jet flames arranged like a pentagon, the 5 stars of the General, thus called the General. It's got a built-in piercer, adjustable flame. Nice, can't go wrong. That's what I will use today on this Gurkha Ghost Connecticut.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
An absolutely perfect cut on this Gurkha Ghost Connecticut. Let me just take a whiff of this cigar. Love that Ecuadorian Connecticut aroma. Fantastic. Let me toast the foot of this beautiful looking stick. I should say it's actually been about 10 days since I've had a cigar. And again, my body's not going into convulsions. I'm not shaking because there is no addiction. We enjoy cigars for the taste, the aroma, the relaxation, the camaraderie. When I hear these enemies of pleasure saying, oh, we've got to stop people enjoying cigars. It's terrible. It's like cigarettes. No, it is not. Night and day. We know it. They know it. They just don't want to admit it. Let's puff and rotate here. Mm-hmm. Great draw. Oh, yeah. Blowing the foot of the cigar. Perfect, even amber glow. Great aroma. Just wafting around me. Very pleasant cigar. And again, Can't go wrong for the price. I mean, you're talking $8, $9, or $11. That is a sweet spot today. It used to be when we started the show 30 years ago, it was $5, $4, $5, $6. Back in 1995 when we started the show, if you said an $8 or $10 cigar, that was high end. Today, mid-range. It's really right around the sweet spot. But nice cigar. Outstanding. Very, very nice. Now, when we return, we'll talk about the Boy Scouts of America. What is taking place with the Boy Scouts of America is absolutely unacceptable. Being a man, being a boy in this country now is taboo, and the Boy Scouts have rolled over. It is an abomination. We will get to that around the corner. Gurkha has long been the king when it comes to opulent, grandly made cigars. And the new Gurkha Pure Evil more than lives up to that legacy. Gurkha originally launched the Pure Evil 15 years ago as a limited edition cigar. They went back to their blend vault. They tweaked the blend to add more flavor, more complexity. The result is a Gurkha Pure Evil that is loaded with flavor, full body, full notes of richness. Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. Don't let the name fool you. The Gurkha Pure Evil is pure cigar pleasure. Gurkha, the world's finest cigars. Visit GurkhaCigars.com. At one time, the Boy Scouts of America represented the greatness of the United States. Boys that would really transform, become men. They would do great service. They would get various badges, merit badges, and it was great for the country. I was never a Boy Scout. My cousin was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, rose to the top rank. But always, there's that old adage, well, you know, he's a real Boy Scout or he's not a Boy Scout, to indicate somebody's integrity stature. I mean, you tell someone, hey, they're a Boy Scout, that says solid citizen, upstanding. And for 114 years, the Boy Scouts represented to our nation's male youth ideals and values that were, I think, truly American. And there's been some changes. Clearly, they had a scandal where there was abuse of boys. That's unacceptable. And it started a number of years ago where they started to allow gay youth in 2013. I don't really have a problem with that. They ended a ban on gay adult leaders in 2015. Again, as long as there's nobody spewing anything sexual or trying to indoctrinate kids, don't have a problem with that. If they do, that's a different story. But in 2017, the beginning of the end of the Boy Scouts commenced when they announced that girls would be accepted as Cub Scouts, and then a year later, in 2018, into the flagship Boy Scout program. And they renamed Boy Scouts Scouts BSA. BSA standing for Boy Scouts of America. Girls have always joined the Brownies, the Girl Scouts. It's always been for girls. Boy Scouts have been for boys. I don't see any boys demanding to join the Brownies or the Girl Scouts. But yet, the Boy Scouts had to acquiesce to political correctness and the feminist movement in 2017 and 2018 when they agreed to allow girls into the Cub Scouts and then a year later into the Boy Scouts. Now there are 6,000 girls that have achieved Eagle Scout rank. Now, congratulations to them. But do that with the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts have their own programs. And in fact, the Girl Scouts, they have clashed with the Boy Scouts over their recruitment of girls. The Girl Scouts were formed for girls. The Boy Scouts were formed for boys. How difficult is that to figure out? It is not that difficult. But yet, now all of a sudden, the Boy Scouts have a need to dramatically change and change their name. Now, at one point, there were 2 million members. The zenith took place in 2018. Now there are about 1 million. They don't even say boys. There's roughly around 825,000 boys and 175,000 girls. At one time, peak membership was 5 million. That was 1972. And look, certainly things have changed. Kids do different things. They're involved in different things, different activities, sports. So everything changes. But in numerous years, there's been pressure placed on the Boy Scouts, first to allow girls from the National Organization of Ugly Women That Can't Get a Man or Can't Get Laid. And that has culminated now in the Boy Scouts announcing that after 114 years, they are changing their name. Boy will no longer be in Boy Scouts. It will be renamed Scouting America. With the organization saying that this emphasizes inclusion as it works to move past the turmoil of bankruptcy from the lawsuits of the child abuse claims over the last decade. There's no reason to change the name Boy Scouts of America. There's no reason to allow girls in the Boy Scouts of America. But now it's called Scouting America. It means nothing. It says nothing. Are the girls going to change their name from the Girl Scouts to Scouting, I don't know, a Scouting Female America? No. But this shows you how weak, how wussified, how beta most men have become in this country, especially leading organizations. Instead of saying, we're not allowing girls in, that's for the Girl Scouts. They call it the Girl Scouts for a reason. We're the Boy Scouts. If you want to create another organization called Boys and Girl Scouts, be our guests. But this is going to be for boys and only boys. And we're not going to change our name. But instead, they rolled over. Roger Krone took over last fall as president and CEO. Clearly, beta male in chief of the organization formerly known as Boy Scouts of America, said in the next 100 years, we want any youth in America to feel very, very welcome to come into our programs. No, you should want boys to be welcome into the Boy Scouts or Scouting America, whatever cockamamie name you want to come up with. The change will take place next February 8th. February 2025, time to the organization's 115th birthday, or better to be known as the beginning of the destruction of the Boy Scouts and Scouting America or whatever other cockamamie name you want to come up with. It is absolutely unacceptable. This country now has become so wussified, filled with betas. We're seeing it on the college campuses. The presidents and administration, who are men, are actually trying to negotiate with these nutcase protests. There's no negotiation. We don't negotiate with nutcase whack jobs, with Marxist terrorists. Here's the deal. You got until 3 o'clock this afternoon to get the hell out. We're calling the police and we're going to evict you forcibly. We're not going to sit and hold hands singing Kumbaya, sharing Starbucks coffee, saying, let's try to work together. Let's have a mutual understanding. Let's see if we can just pass the peace pipe and get to know one each other for the betterment of the world. Bullshit. You act like an alpha. You act like General Patton and say, here's our terms. You got until 3 o'clock to get the hell out, or you're going to be kicked the hell out. You decide. But we're not going to sit. You can go on all the hunger strikes you want. And by the way, I love these kids that have gone on hunger strikes saying, we're going on a hunger strike, but we're only going to drink water And then after a few days, we're hungry, we're trembling, we're weak. And then they changed the hunger strike to be from like 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. Now they're doing what they call rotating hunger strikes. So only one person a day is going, or several people are going to fast for the day for 8-9 hours, big deal. They're going to miss lunch. And then the next day, there'll be a separate group. Please. This shows you how weak and pathetic these people are. They want to do a hunger strike, but they're too wussified and pussified to even do it. And the same goes with these administrators. These male administrators are showing their beta, pussy, wussified side. They are weak. They are pathetic. They are a disgrace to masculinity. There is an absolute rampant epidemic in this country, not only of anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism, but of anti-masculinity and masculism. We are seeing these men that have been over the last 20, 30, 40 years totally wussified. They can't make decisions. They're afraid to make decisions. They're afraid that they'll be perceived as mean. We can't have that. We have to be in touch with our feminine side. Woo. You want to be feminine? Put on a damn skirt. Put on some perfume. Put on some makeup and do your thing. But instead, what you ought to be doing is swinging your big member around saying, hey, I'm in charge. I'm running the show. End of discussion. And speaking of skirts, finally, as we wrap up this edition of the Cigar Dave Show, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper, whose Lightning were eliminated in the first round against the Florida Stinkin' Panthers about 10 days ago, 12 days ago, whatever it was. It was a very controversial game. It wasn't the deciding game, but it was controversial because the Lightning had scored and a couple of goals were waved off because of goaltender interference. You can't be in the goaltender crease. But, you know, they were showing the goalie basically pushing the Lightning around, and there was a lot of jockeying back and forth. And it's playoff hockey. All right, you can't get ticky-tacky. And so after the game, to complain, this is what Lightning head coach John Cooper had to say, and he made reference to goalies basically being, to a degree, being girls by wearing skirts. Take a listen.
Well, then, is there net front battles aren't allowed anymore? And that's part of everybody's game. It's like the boxing out that goes there, it's like prison rules in the playoffs, but it's not prison rules for the goalie. Like the second something happens, you know, like, we might as well put skirts on them then, if that's how it's going to be. I mean, they have to battle through stuff, too.
You might as well put skirts on them. Seven words. You might as well put skirts on them. Seven words, maybe 2 seconds. Pretty innocuous, right? You're just using that as a figure of speech. Hey, these goalies are soft. Hey, put skirts on them. Oh, but there's a big controversy. No, 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 not so fast. Can't say that. Some of the feminists got upset. Some other female hockey fans got upset. Now, to me, I wouldn't have said a word about it. Somebody said, well, geez, do you apologize? I would have said no. But I want you to witness John Cooper in a matter of 2 days or 3 days going from alpha male head coach to a wussified beta male in one unnecessary apology. This is how he started his season-ending presser last week.
Hey, listen, before I get going, I just have to address one thing. So, as you know, we had a pretty disappointing series loss the other night, and I made an inappropriate analogy about goalies and skirts. And, you know, it's one of those moments, if you could just reach back and grab the words back, I would have. And, you know, as a father of two, especially a massive supporter of women's hockey and I have girls that play sports. And so it was, quite frankly, it was wrong. And, you know, I got to go and explain myself to my girls. And anyway, it was, I sincerely apologize to all I offended. It's pained me more than actual series loss itself. And so I just, again, it was one of those moments that, you know, I don't think my actions of the past have led me to, I guess it was judged me more in those maybe than the emotional, quite frankly, dumb words that came out of my mouth the other night. So for that, I'm sorry.
If the statement bothered you more than the series loss itself, John, resign. Resign. That's pathetic. It was painful to listen to that apology. I have to explain this to my girls. Do you think his girls really asked him a question about it? No. Everybody knows what the term means. May as well play with skirts. It's a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. And for John Cooper to spend 1 minute and 24 seconds apologizing for seven words stated over maybe 2 seconds, maybe, is absurd. I apologize. I have to live with myself, and it's been agonizing for me. I don't think he wanted to make that apology personally. When you listen to him, I think that somebody, one of the higher-ups in the Lightning organization, as they say, the Canadians say, said probably some politically correct moron saying, you know, we don't want to alienate our female fan base. How many women do you think actually said, oh, our coach was pissed about the goalies, the interference. Goalies should just wear skirts. Not one. Not one. But to spend a minute 24 apologizing in an agonizing way. Oh, this was worse than what I said than losing. I don't want a coach that's for me. There's no apology necessary. If a reporter asks him, saying it's a figure of speech, there's nothing to apologize for. Next question. That's it. Seven words, 2 seconds. Somebody asked him about that. Figure of speech, nothing to apologize for. Next. Great. Spent 3 seconds. On to the next. But this is the environment today where men feel that they have to be feminized. They have to be in touch with their feminine side. God forbid you say something that somebody could misconstrue as being anti-woman, anti-feminist. I am woman, hear me roar, roar. Come on. It's absurd. You think a football coach would have said that? Can you imagine Bill Parcells saying that? Can you imagine Hank Stram? Can you imagine Vince Lombardi saying that? Hell no. John, you'd went from alpha male head coach to wussified beta male head coach with your balls basically castrated in 1 minute and 24 seconds. It is pitiful to watch. Never apologize for being a man. Never apologize for being an alpha male. Never apologize for being masculine. End of discussion. All right, as always, if you would like to follow us on social media, Twitter at Cigar Dave Show, Getter, Truth, Instagram, Facebook, Cigar Dave, email me, cigardave@cigardave.com, should you care to communicate with me via written word, cigardave@cigardave.com. All right, that is all. As we wrap it up, Cigar Dave, the general saying, may your humidor always be full, may your cutter always be sharp, may your ash be extra, extra long, semper delectatio, always pleasure, long live the alpha, make masculinity great again, screw the enemies of pleasure, hashtag Trump 2024, hashtag MAGA, hashtag screw the Marxist, screw the anti-Americans, screw the anti-Semites, screw anybody that screws with our way of life.